Hey, hey, Dream Team. Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 5 of Copy Is My Boyfriend. My name's Anissa, and in this episode, I'm going to talk a lot about anxiety. I had an anxiety attack. I haven't had one since grade 12. That was an experience. Going back into muggle life after being away in the amazing Americas, and now back. And then finally, this whole idea of me getting married. I don't know how I feel about this. Let's chat about it. Episode 5. Bye-bye. Hey, 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 Dream Team. Welcome back to Coffee is My Boyfriend. My name is Anissa, and coffee is the love of my life. The love of my life. I think it's been like the absolute consistent addictive stimulant in my life. Now that sounds a bit, I don't know how I feel about that. It's expensive. I'm pretty sure I could have funded, I don't know, my university degree off how much coffee I probably drink and spend money on during the week. I am getting better. I still drink a lot of coffee, but I'm getting better at my spending habits around it. That's too much information. Anyway, hello, welcome back. Episode 5 is coming at you today. Oh, guys, we have so much to recap on. We've got some gold nuggets of awesomeness. We've got some truth bombs. We've got all the things happening. Where to start? Well, today's Friday. This week was my first week back into what I call muggle life. First week back into it after my gorgeous and amazing and fantastic experiences in America, and what that looked like and how that was and what it's leading to now and all the things. So I've come back pretty pumped, pretty hyped about life, about opportunities, about where everything is heading, my workload, experiences, etc. I've come back hyped, right? And I get in to Sydney on the Sunday afternoon to start work on the Monday. Like, yes, time to settle, washing is done, go get my groceries, all that kind of stuff. And I have a moment to myself, and I lost it. I absolutely lost my kitten caboodle and bundle and whatever you want to call it. I had my first anxiety attack. Well, not my first one. I've had my first one since I had one in grade 12. So few years back now for me to have an anxiety attack, but I got in and I was chatting away to my flatmate and everything was hunky-dory. A couple of hours later, as soon as it was time to go to bed and as soon as it was like the impact of the next day, of what the week looked like, about what everything that needed to be done, everything that needs to be organized started to kick in, I lost it. And it actually scared my flatmate a little bit. I don't think he's ever seen me. I'm usually this like pretty strong, very level-headed and grounded person. I don't really let emotions catch up with me when it comes to the facts of a situation. I just like to get in and get it done. Like, don't worry about it. Just get in and get it done. There's no need to get emotional. Is the process I go through. But in this moment, I was on the floor. I was hyperventilating. I was crying. I was upset. I was a mess, to put it bluntly. My poor flatmate. He dealt with it so well. And you know, it was over within what, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But it was just this moment of like impact, and I think it was this thing of, I'm now in this teething period of change, right? And I think some of us get that way towards the end of the year, a new year's beginning. We have these like hopes, expectations, dreams on a certain type of reality that we want to produce for the new year, because the new year is coming and it's the new you or whatever. Bullshit. Don't listen. Don't pull up to that hype. It's life. Life is happening. Life is happening all the time. It doesn't matter if it's the new year, if it's halfway through the year, if it's a third through the year. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter what year it is. This is life and it's happening. And I think I built this expectation in my head of what returning to muggle life kind of look like for me, especially now that I've got these new challenges that challenge that muggle life now, that routine that I've developed over the last 2 years now has to change. It now has to evolve. And I was pretty, like, I pushed myself, you know, if you've watched my Instagram stories, if you followed my journey a bit, I definitely push myself in terms of my muggle life, but I've gotten to a space where it's pretty comfortable. Like, I know my timetable, I know where I have to be and what I have to do and what classes I'm teaching and who I'm with and what downtime I have to work on what stuff and all that kind of jazz. And then I come back and my workload has changed. We've got things that we're working on with the film. We've got things that we're working on, well, now with my tour launches in January. That was a big thing, you know, and I'll get back into that a little bit more. But that was like getting to me in my head. And, you know, the fact that I know that I'll probably have to head back to America pretty soon. And that also, you know, expectations around that, around money, around finances, especially at this time of year where we do, you know, tend to spend more money and all that kind of stuff. Or for me, like just coming back from a big trip, it's pretty big. When I spent the money on that trip, again, it was an investment in me, which was fantastic because I love me and I am the only thing that really matters in my world. Everything else is just an added beautiful bonus when you think about it. Come on, let's be real. I invested back in myself, which was fantastic, and I'm grateful for that, but it does leave little wriggle room when you're constantly investing back in yourself. So I had the trip to America. We did the things. It was fantastic. I didn't overspend. I didn't overindulge. It was not a holiday, so I was very wary of that. And I've come back, and now I've had to reinvest again more stuff into my potential, which has been, you know, deposits on booking venues and public liability insurance for the show, and what else? New acting platforms that my agent wants so that she can get me out there more, and potential advertising and all this sort of stuff that's happening with the tour. So all these things, like, I'm very wary of, and they will build up and they will come about. And it's this spending, right? This spending, this giving away without knowing if you're going to get anything back. And not even that in terms of a monetary value, but that also in an energy value, in time. Like, I'm giving away time to a lot of things right now, and I'm not getting anything back. And it's this whole idea of having faith in the fact that you're going to have some return in that, whatever that might be. For me right now, it is putting a ton of effort into my tour and a ton of effort into this film project. And I don't know. I have no guarantee that there's going to be a return. No guarantee. However, I need to back myself. And if I don't back myself 100%, then I guarantee you there will be no return. Actually, it's funny I bring that up because this video really resonated with me. I think it was yesterday I saw it, maybe the day before. I am a Dermot Kennedy fan. There we go. Said it correctly. Dermot Kennedy fan. Love him. He's a musician. He's Irish. His lyricism and everything is just beautifully poetic. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. I've been following him pretty much since he released his first kind of songs on Spotify. And I just got a ticket to his show, which falls flat bang in the middle of Sydney Comedy Festival, but I've made sure I got that night off. And I was watching a video about him being interviewed for this tour and his album release and everything, and how he's kind of blown up. And he's been playing some really big, amazing venues and just constantly selling out, constantly selling out. And someone asked him, did you ever see yourself, you know, playing at Radio City Hall, for example? And his answer was so unbelievably great. He said, like, obviously to be humble and to be, you know, respectful, you kind of want to answer, no, I never saw this coming. Like, I never saw this coming. But at the same instance, in the same token, you kind of have to. You have to see it coming. You have to see your dreams to be that big. You have to know that you can back yourself. You have to know that you can, you know, see yourself in that space, because if you can't, then you're never going to reach it. So when people ask questions like, you know, did you see yourself doing this? Did you see yourself this happening? To say that I didn't, or to say that I haven't, or to say that this is the dream, like this is the end of the dream, would be complete bullshit. Complete bullshit. my dreams are so unbelievably massive in what I want to see and what I want to do and how I want to make impact and legacy, that to undermine that, to say that, you know, this is where I'm at and this is where I'll be and this is where I'll stay, is what the outcome will be. So I think when you get into those lovely periods of life where the balance is starting to change, and it could be that your work situation changes or you have to move or you're investing into something that's a big leap or whatever it might be, these periods of change, these periods of, you know, uneasy ground are actually the stepping stone forward. You know, it's the next step. And just like a stepping stone in water, we don't know if it's sturdy or not, but to get across the river, mate, you got to take that step. So I'm in this lovely period right now, guys, where my stress and my anxiety is definitely being challenged. My capacity, I know, is here. I know I've got the capacity to be able to deal with these challenges that come up. I'm very thankful and blessed that I have a support system and amazing mentors that allow me to open up, you know, my capacity to be able to take on more work, to take on more challenges, because ultimately my dreams are so, pardon me, but so fucking big that if I don't expand myself, if I don't work that skill set and get it to a level that's, you know, extraordinary, there is no way I can achieve extraordinary dreams. That's just the reality of the situation, right? And you look at it at anything in life, you know, if you don't have the skill set that's extraordinary, then you're probably not going to be extraordinary at that thing. If you're not practicing that, if you're not working that, if you've got an instrument, for example, you've always wanted to play the guitar. Awesome. If you don't practice that, if you don't play that, if you don't go back to, you know, the trenches and learn chords and work out the logistics and all that kind of stuff and go through the teething period of playing a song and it sucking, right? You are not going to achieve greatness with that. It's just, you got to push through. There's always going to be this challenge to go next level, and it's never going to be smooth sailing. So anyone that's like an overnight success or whatever it is complete bullshit in my eyes. If they are, it's a fluke of a situation. That's because after that, you've got to show up with talent and you've got to show up with hard work. So if you don't have those in your back pocket, if they're not ready to go, even if it is an overnight fluke situation, I don't know, like a viral video, right? If they don't have the backing behind that, if they don't have the experience behind that, if they don't have the content behind that, the next video, it's not going to be great. So can you imagine yourself doing this? It's bizarre for me right now because I have imagined myself in this space. In this space right now, this tipping point of space where things are going to start. It's not going to happen overnight. It doesn't change tomorrow, but it's already starting to. This tipping point space where it's a transitional period that needs to happen in order for me to go next level. And I've imagined this space. I've envisioned this space. And it's always seemed, oh yeah, that'll happen. Like, it'll come around. Like, it's a way, you know, it's coming, but I'm not in it yet. All of a sudden, like, I'm in it. And this idea of it being so far away, not even far away, just like not in the peripheral vision of where I was currently at, now it's like imploding on me right now. It's crazy. It actually, that's where the anxiety comes from, right? It's not that I'm not capable. It's not that I don't believe I'm not capable of doing these things. I mean, maybe I had a small moment there that I was like, holy shit, can I pull this off? It's more the fact that it's here now, which means the next vision is close to, which means the next level is close to. Now that's huge. That's a big thing. I mean, when I told myself, I mean, I think about it now. What? Sydney Comedy Festival. The whole idea of me doing Sydney Comedy Festival initially was fucking huge. Then I did it. Sold out show. A week before the show, by the way. Thank you very much, Lee. You're welcome. I did that. I had amazing feedback from that. And it was at Sydney Comedy Festival that I turned to Sam and I said, we need to go on tour. He goes, I was going to suggest the same thing. You got a great show. It's fun. Everyone loves it. You got to show it off. So I'm like, okay, we're going on tour. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, we're going on tour. Now, now, ladies and gentlemen, that was decided in what? May? Now we have Brisbane booked in January. We have Perth Fringe Festival for 5 shows down that way. We've backed that up with Adelaide, 2 shows in Adelaide in April, in February, my bad. Then that goes straight into Newcastle in March before hitting Melbourne Comedy Festival. Got 11 shows for Melbourne Comedy Festival. And I'm currently just waiting for the approval for the encore show for Sydney Comedy Festival. And that is the tour that is happening. It's huge. Like, to even think to put that in such a sphere of comprehension. The fact that I spoke that and I truly believed it and I spoke it into existence. And now it's like not dulling down that power and even accelerating it and taking it higher and being wary of like, okay, this is here now. We can't shy away from it. It's happening. Venues are booked. Tickets are going on sale, blah, blah, blah. The next sphere of elevation is to then like sell that baby out, get people involved, get the show going. It's a lot. It's a lot. And I think it's just one of those things where I'm pinching myself, but I'm not, because I'm pinching myself that it's here, but I'm not pinching myself as in like, oh my God, I can't believe this, because I can believe this. I've put the work in, I've put the effort in, I'm showing up, I'm doing what needs to be done, you know, I'm making the conversations, I'm talking to people. It's this whole idea of kind of backing yourself. And it's, here we go, here's where we get personal. It's challenging because I do this, I live my life, oh, I can feel like my heart just sinking right now because I'm going to like just truth bomb the fudge bucket out of this shiznit. I feel myself saying this, and a lot of creatives may be in the same boat. They may completely understand what I'm talking about. It's this thing of backing yourself but not having anybody with you on the journey. It's this lone ranger, lone wolf. I'm in a boat by myself and I am traveling across the seas kind of feeling. And you know other people are in their own boats around you somewhere doing something. Hey, you might bump into them along the way, but you have no one with you on this journey. And I've spoken to people who even, and I thought initially the way I thought about this was because I didn't have a partner, right? Because I don't have someone who was just like, oh my God, babe, like you're doing so well, keep going. Oh wait, oh my God, babe, you're doing so well, like keep going, come here, I'll give you a hug. Like, no, I thought that was the initial. I love me. I thought that was the initial like pull of that, like this loneliness, this idea that I don't have my person. And I'm looking forward to meeting my person. I'm looking forward to having them on the journey with me. And at the same time, though, I'm so used to being independent in the way that I run things and the way that I channel my goals and my focus, that even if I did have my person, or I do have my person, it wouldn't be about them anyway, this loneliness. It wouldn't be about them being there or not. It's this fact that you are with yourself and your own drive and your own aspirations and your own vision of what you know you can achieve or what you want to achieve. And nobody else can see that or feel that. And no matter how many times you try to explain it to someone, no, how many times you could, I don't know, broaden your vocabulary to the point of complete scientific beauty, right? And you could have all the words in the world, every concept that is broken down through every language, you could have that all in the entirety, in your complete vessel of being, and you'll be able to speak it and show it off and tell everybody about it and just vocalize it in such a beautifully poetic way that still nobody would get it. And that's what sucks. That's what I think becomes so lonely. Particularly with creative vision, but I think with a lot of other things too. It's conceptual, right? The feelings are conceptual. You can never fully explain to someone how you feel about something because what they interpret is simply a feeling that they have experienced, you know? It's not your experience, it's theirs. So whenever you say to someone, you know, like, oh, you know, this is how I feel about this, their interpretation of it is whether they've had an experience similar to you and therefore can implement that expectation onto that situation. Or if they haven't, they're finding an experience that's like what you've had and put that on top. So it's never going to meet. It's never going to meet. And it's crazy to think like that. But at the end of the day, you are never going to meet this connection with another human being in the same experience, in the same motion, in the same mindset, in the same reality. Whoa, did I just hit something or did I just hit something? You are never going to get that with anybody but yourself. That's crazy. That's so crazy. Oh, I'm not saying don't try. God, communication skills need to be worked on in society for today. Absolutely. Communication back and forth in this generation of millennial upbringing is completely effed. Completely effed. People are so quick to get offended. People are so quick not to explain themselves. People are so quick to assume things. There is no seeking first to understand. Assumptions are everything in this sort of generational change. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But please continue to try and express your truth and your experiences with someone else, because that's the only way we can grow and develop. We learn through stories. We learn through experiences. We learn through trying to connect with another person. Where I think I'm challenged, or where I think this loneliness comes from me, is that I understand now that the vision of how I think things, the vision of how I experience things, the vision of conversation, the vision of legacy, the vision of creativity, the vision of how I want to impact people's lives in society and make that positive change, to essentially own the voice that you have in your head, own the being that you are, is never truly going to be experienced by anyone other than myself. And the only objective I have in this world is to try my absolute best, to try my absolute best to express that with you, to express that with everybody, you know? That is rough. There we go. There it is. That is why I sometimes feel like I can be the most open person and the most isolated person all in the one instance. I can talk to everybody, and yet I can put up huge amounts of walls while having those conversations. It is this, and I've expressed it before in such a light, but I've never really dug really deep into it until going through, I guess, this period of change. I've spoken about before how I am an extroverted introvert. I have an extrovert personality but an introverted soul. And I've expressed it before, like it's a concept that for me works well with who I am. This extroverted personality is happy to be around people, to express things, to talk, to connect in such a way that I can meet people on their level, on their energies, where they're at, whether they're introverted, extroverted, it doesn't matter, or what range of the spectrum they sit on in that space. I also pride myself that I can connect with people in that way. But my soul is so introverted in terms of protection, in terms of support, in terms of safety. It's challenging for me to really open that out, because if I do, then I'm having conversations like this with people. You know, I'm having this broadening idea of what the concept of reality and force and energy is, because at the end of the day, we're all energy. We're just energy exchanging energy. And it's kind of fucking beautiful. And also terrifying. That's a whole nother conversation of Anissa's research. But anyway, so there's kind of where my anxiety and that almost heaviness, this weight of the gravity of change in my life is going on. This idea of unsteady ground, this understanding that my current safety net, my routine, it actually needs to change. It actually needs to get disrupted. I need to break ground in order for me to grow something. And this is what's happening. I'm breaking ground. It has to be broken up. It has to be pushed to the side. It has to be changed. And that's kind of crazy. And I think part of that change too, or part of this way of thinking and elevating myself is coming. My birthday's coming up. Yay! Happy birthday, me. Woohoo! I'm turning 30. The big 3-0. I don't know why people say that. It's just a number. It's just another year of life. It's fantastic. I am turning 30. And I have no fear of that. I think there's a lot of anxiety about this particular new decade of life. I have no fear about it. I've been working hard on this over the last sort of year because I knew of the expectations of my old way of thinking would have crept up, and they do. I have, you know, these expectations of myself when I was quite young that, oh my God, by the time you're 30, you're going to be married and you're going to have 3 kids and you're going to have a house and you're going to have a dog and you're going to be a boss lady and you're going to have several businesses and they're all going to be successful and you're going to be doing all the creative things that you want to be doing. And bullshit. An absolute bullshit. This expectation of the design of life from other previous generations is absolute bullshit, because you cannot anticipate the change within culture, right? You cannot. And you can't anticipate the change within yourself. So the reason we hold on to these idealisms that we set ourselves from such a young age, it completely baffles me. And it completely baffled me this whole year when I'm working through it. I'm like, why am I getting upset about this? I am doing some pretty fucking cool shit right now. And I'm getting upset at myself because I'm not, what, married? This doesn't mean shit. Like, it really does not mean shit. Because at the end of the day, girl, I could be married. I technically, really, realistically, I could go probably get married, you know, tomorrow. Maybe not legally, but you know what I'm saying? That could happen. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean it's going to be a great relationship. It doesn't mean I'm going to be a great wife. It doesn't mean I'm going to continue to be a good person. It doesn't mean that person is going to be the greatest person in my life or influence in my life. No, it doesn't mean shit. And as soon as I understood that it doesn't mean shit, maybe in a past generation, in a previous expectation of what the reality of life is, or someone's idealistic notion of, I don't know, partnership or whatever, that was probably considered, you know, greatness because, I don't know, sanctity of marriage or blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from that. Marriage still means a lot to me in terms of what that commitment is. But to have this idea that you have to have that by a particular time in your life is absolute bullshit. You can want that, absolutely. And I'm not saying I don't want it. I don't know if I really do want it. I'm not really in the space of deciding that just yet. But to have this idea that you cannot be fulfilled and you can't be whole without it, that's what got me. That's what my thinking was. That was my default. That was my old way of thinking. That was the thing that I had to change. That and kids. That and kids. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not entirely sure now after doing my beautiful self-searching, soul-searching, I don't know, reevaluating this year, if I want to have kids and how I, well, maybe I do want to have kids. I keep seeing myself with them, but I don't think I physically have to have them. Actually, I'm pretty sure I don't want to physically have to have them. So, and that's a whole nother conversation and each to their own and all that jazz. And some people, and I can't put that expectation on myself either. I can't make that decision because I don't know when I want to decide to do that. If that's going to be with a partner, if that's not going to be with the partner, depending on the partner, maybe I do, maybe I don't. What about health things? Like, I can't put that expectation on myself in a period of time in my life, not knowing what the limitations are on that in the future. How can you possibly make a decision about something so momentous in your life when you aren't actually in that situation? That's what baffles me. Sure, you can think about it. Sure, you can fantasize about it. Sure, you could do, like, I don't know, fake scenarios like they do in the army to set themselves up. Like, you can prepare yourself as much as you want, but at the end of the day, in every situation is different. So to have an expectation on myself that by this birth date, I would have these things is complete and utter bogus. And the fact that we put this, I can't speak for men. I am not a man. I will not know the expectations of the gender that is male. But as a female and this expectation of what a female's body does and what a female's role is, and I love that this is slightly changing and moving and shifting, particularly with millennial generations because of the way that our society is and our cultural change. But to, like, have this expectation still put on you from such a young age as a girl that this is what you're going to achieve in life, you're going to have, you know, essentially it's still the same thing. Even though we are starting to be a little bit more gender fluid and gender inclusive, it's still this expectation of you're a female, you're going to marry a male, you're going to have babies with this male, you're going to be a mum, you're going to do what a mum thing looks like. And this vision of what that still looks like, which is unfortunate. I'm looking forward to it becoming more fluid in its visuals, more fluid in its expectations. Can't we just expect people to be good people? Like, can't we just expect people, if we're talking about any expectations whatsoever, can't we just get to a space in society where we're just like, you know what? We just expect you to be a good human. Like, can we just have that expectation? Like, just be a good human. Just, can you look after yourself? Can you try not to hurt other people? You know, can you just help society keep going and so we don't all kill each other? Like, look after the planet and the environment and animals and where we live. Can we just have that expectation? Because I think if we had that expectation, we'd probably all be striving to be amazing humans. Like, anyway. Anywho, that is that. Investing back into me. I think investing back into me has been a beautiful kind of mantra this last couple of months, to take this up a notch, to get out of this comfort zone, to push. And it's not that I haven't done this. I think sometimes you sort of forget that it took a challenge to get where you are, and it'll take a challenge to go to the next level. Like, I sort of sometimes forget, by the way, Anissa, you packed up everything 2 years ago. You had no jobs, you had nowhere to live, and you found somewhere to live, and you had three jobs organized before you even got to Sydney. So, you know, that was a struggle, that was a challenge, and you made that happen. And then all of a sudden, you know, you built your reputation, and then you got your reputation up, and you have an amazing following in group fitness here, and all that kind of stuff. It's not where I want to be, and I'm really blessed and lucky that all my managers and companies know that. But, you know, I'm thankful that I worked my butt off and got to that space and that level. But now the comfort zone needs to change again, and what that looks like, which is challenging because it's unseen. You know, we can't see the beauty of future or hindsight, you know, like, it's happening. You can't change that it's happening. The only thing you can control is your actions and your attitude towards whatever is happening in your life. So why fight it? Like, I think you're allowed to have your moments. Like, I was allowed to cry for 10 minutes and completely lose it in front of somebody I trusted. Fuck, that was my boiling point. That was my water going over the edge of my pot. It needed to boil over in order for it to simmer down. And I did that. And is it completely gone? No. I feel this constant need that I'm behind all the time. All the time. There is always more work. The work never stops. This idea of, like, not doing enough is always something that's going to be with me, regardless of how much work I do. But I have to take comfort in reinvesting into myself, and that everything I'm doing is investing into me and my life and my happiness and my goals that I want to achieve. And that comes also with a space of understanding when you need to rest as well. Oh God, did I just say that out loud? I get constant messages from a lot of my friends, and it'll just be a simple text message saying, have you rested this week? Or have you checked in with yourself lately? They will literally send me these gorgeous messages. Thank you kindly, you know who you are. And they'll tell me, you know, to slow down, to have a moment, that kind of thing. Which is so lovely, because it does make you check in with yourself. And if you think to yourself, like, if other people are thinking you're going too crazy, like going too nuts, going too hardcore, then, and they can see that, maybe you are, you know, maybe it's just a bit too much. So sort of taking this step back to have some me time, to invest in rest. Invest in rest. I love that. So I actually had an acupuncture session booked in before I left for America. And the reason why I did that was because I knew of this reason, because I knew I don't stop, because I knew that America was not a resting holiday for me. It was a working holiday. It was a constant creative drive, a constant idea of opportunity, of meeting people, everything. It was not a rest. I knew it wasn't a rest. So I booked acupuncture session in for the week that I got back on the Friday, so that was today. And I got the message on Tuesday to just remind me of the session. And my first thoughts were, oh my God, I can't afford this, because I am investing into the tour, and this is money I could put into advertising, and this is money that I could put to public liability insurance and blah. And I haven't really got back into work yet. So I haven't got, you know, those invoices back and all that kind of stuff. So I had this real moment of, like, I don't know if I can commit to myself like that. And when I had that thought process, was exactly why I knew I should. That I knew I would make it work. Because if I'm getting stressed about the fact that I needed to take time for me, and that wasn't a good enough reason, then I need to reevaluate my values, because at the moment, everything I'm doing is for me and my benefit and my goals and where I want to go and what I want to achieve. and the work is there, and the work will always be there. But if I'm not available to do the work, then I'm not available to show up for my dreams. So even though at first I left it for a day, actually, I was like, I'm going to leave this for a day and then I will respond. But I knew as soon as I left it for a day that I needed to go. And I'm so glad I went, because today it's just made me feel a lot clearer about the facts of what needs to be done rather than getting emotionally caught up with things. It's almost like I gave myself a moment to just settle, to be present, to connect with where I'm at, to be proud of where I'm at too. I think pride in what we're doing in our lives, pride in what we're challenging ourselves with, it should be acknowledged, just self-acknowledgement. You don't have to go around and be like, hey guys, I'm top shit, like, hi. I do that on occasion. No, I'm kidding. Maybe I do it on occasion, and sometimes. Like, that's okay. Confidence is key, guys. Confidence is key. But to evaluate and to have a moment of reflection of what you're proud about yourself, and what your key growth is, what your key growth is, where your growth is coming from, how you've grown. I think that's incredible to have those moments, because it gives you a sense of achievement in something that is not measurable. You can't measure that. No one's going to give you a trophy. No one's going to give you a medal. No one's going to give you a parade. You have to. You have to have those moments of pride. You have to have those moments of self-reflection. You have to acknowledge them. So my acupuncture session today was perfect. It was this I'm giving back to me moment. I'm proud of me. This is what my gift to me. This is what I've been doing. I've been working hard for. This is a chance for me to settle down, for me to feel less anxious, for me to feel less stressed. In saying that too, though, I am acknowledging that I probably need to ask for more help. It's a lot of me doing a lot of me things. And you kind of forget that other people do want to support you, and they do want to help you out as best they can. And it could be the simplest and easiest things. Like, I've got, like I said, the friends messaging me and telling me to have a rest, or, you know, to have 5 minutes to myself or whatever. It's so unbelievably valuable. And I am proud of myself. Here's my moment of reflection. I am proud of myself because I am asking for help with this tour, because currently, like, I understand why people wait until they've got a manager or they've got someone that can help them organize this, because it's a lot of work. And there's a lot of organizing dates. It's a lot of talking to different people. It's a lot of investment in terms of, you know, deposits, and it's a lot of money. It's a money and time thing. The achievement will always outweigh it, but it is stress. Like, you think to yourself, like, I'm putting so much into this. I don't know if I can afford to do this. I don't know if anyone's going to show up. I don't know if there is that. There's that side of that that will always be there. And no matter how, I don't care who you are, I don't care how much confidence you ooze, you have to know the worst case scenario. You have to know it. And I've always been this person of evaluating, what's my worst case scenario? If this is my worst case scenario, can I live with this? Yes. In that case, it is not the worst case scenario, and you can move on with your life. That is how I always evaluate a situation. So if I'm ever worried about something, I'm like, what is the worst case scenario? What is the bare minimum that needs to be done, you know, in order to avoid that or challenge that or take that away or off the table? And you reverse engineer it that way. And you work your mind in such a state that the worst case scenario, you're fine with. It's actually not even the worst case scenario. It's just a scenario. But everyone gets caught up in that at some point. I think to be ignorant and to be, I don't know, cocky, and to have a very ego vibe about you, to say like, oh no, I don't worry about that stuff, is bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Of course you do. You're human. And if you're not worried about that stuff, then I would ask you to get a DNA test because I don't know if you are human. So that is something that I'm doing currently, and I will probably do more so, is I will ask for help, and it'll be as simple as asking people, hey, look, I know you're interested in coming to my show. Could you also share my show, event on your Facebook page, or to someone that you know would love it, or someone that you would like to bring along, or someone who would value this? Like, it's as simple as that, and I have to be humble enough to know that me asking for help in that way is not a bad thing, and is not a sense of failure or a sense of weakness. It's actually a sense of strength. It's a sense of being smart and evaluating a situation to create its best outcome. So asking for help is one note that I am definitely myself working on, particularly with this tour. So please, if you are interested in my tour and want to see my amazing show — it is amazing, by the way, I fully back myself in this, it is a very fun and enjoyable show — please share with people that you know would love to come. Tell people, that you would love to join with you on the show. If you can't make it to the show, get people involved in the cities that you know of, and that would be unbelievably helpful, and I'm believably human and supportive of you. So please, that would be fantastic. I would really appreciate that. So this is like my first week of coming back into Muggle life. I am on uneasy ground, guys. It's unsteady, it's rocky, I'm turning up the dirt, things are changing, I have to evaluate things. I have to evaluate what's important, what workload I want to take on, and what I don't. And that's whole conversations I have to have with myself every moment of every day. I'm going to finish this podcast here because I feel like I got really juicy today. Really juicy. Thank you so much for listening in, guys. This is episode 5 of season 2 of Coffee's My Boyfriend. I will get more into specifics about the comic tour, particularly for anyone that is interested in that world. I think in organizing something like that, it's a lot. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm doing it all by myself, guys. I'm doing it all by myself. So I am more than happy to share the ins and outs of that. But if you do have anything that, you're interested in me talking about, please jump on my Facebook, jump on my Instagram, send me a message. I love the love. I love to know what you think. I actually have a few of you messaging me after you listen to this podcast and giving me like your thoughts and tidbits and how you feel about certain situations. It is fudging fantastic, and I love it. I absolutely love it. It is so good to open those doors of conversation with you, and I love that. This is life. This is humanity. This is how we connect. And like I said, you're never ever going to have that same emotional and visual experience as someone else, but my God, you can at least try and connect with them on that level. Absolutely. That is the bare minimum I think we can experience out of life, is to really get to know and experience and love and enjoy and share and connect with another human being. And I hope that is coming through from me to you. My name is Anissa B. Coffee is my boyfriend. Oh my God. I think I need another one after that. Ramp me back up again. Whew. I will see you guys soon. Well, not see you, but I will chat with you soon. Enjoy. Have a fantastic rest of your day, week, month, year, if you're not jumping back on anytime soon. Actually, no, I'll see y'all next week. You'll hear me next week. Get on it. Bye.